podcast on 97.3 The Fan is presented by Hummel Casino. Fun above all else.
All right, the tarp is coming off the studio. The radio hosts are returning to their microphones, and it looks like we will play Incorporator this morning with Jesse Agler, who is standing by from the Big Apple. Good morning, Jesse.
Good morning, guys.
Hi, buddy. How are you?
Tired?
A little bit. You know, I mean, it's funny because I think the rain delay becomes a very good storyline for us and for you, I'm sure.
Yeah.
But I really don't think the ones we've had have been that bad, which sounds maybe crazy. But, you know, I mean, at the beginning is the way to do it, which was the case, right, in Pittsburgh the first 2 days and the first one last night. Because then it's sort of like, all right, everybody just kind of stays in their pregame routine. And then the one that was in the game yesterday was, I think, 28 minutes. So not like disaster rain scenarios like we've seen other times. And, you know, it's been a lot, certainly. But it might sound crazy, but I think this whole thing could have been a lot worse.
Man, it could have. And speaking of a lot worse, it could have been a lot worse last night. The field conditions toward the end of the game were, I mean, nothing short of treacherous. You saw Goldschmidt slip coming out of the box. You saw Lockridge fall right on his butt. Looked like he was on ice skates out in center field. I had my fingers crossed that nobody ripped a hamstring. That catch that Hayward made back to the warning track, I was like, oh, God, his foot's about to go out from under him. I mean, those guys grinded through that one last night, Jesse.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And I mean, even it seemed like the things that looked like routine pop-ups or routine fly balls were not routine. You know, just having to look up into the sky, and it was foggy and hazy and cloudy and then rainy. It kind of is what it is, obviously, and everybody wanted to get it in. You know, this is something that's changed a little bit maybe in the last, call it, 15 years, where Major League Baseball is very, very committed to getting these games in when scheduled, whenever possible.
Yeah.
And so there's more waiting than maybe there used to be. Not that there didn't used to be long rain delays at times, but I think in the past there was much more of a willingness, probably because of the schedule, especially in the pre, 98 expansion era, maybe even the pre 93 expansion era, where, you know, you play teams a bunch more, so it was a lot easier to, you know, play a doubleheader later on in the season. They really try and avoid that now whenever possible. So you are going to have more nights like last night. But I tell you what, Ground Screw Yankee Stadium did an incredible job. You know, I know it was wet at the end, but I mean, that was just, you know, as good as it was going to get yesterday. And the little rain delay in the fourth inning, it was amazing how good the field was when they resumed play. So again, like in terms of the weather, not ideal, but definitely could have been way worse.
Jesse Woods was very poetic at the beginning of the show about why he thinks baseball is by far the best sport. And last night was an illustration. It was a game that was a slog, wasn't going well for the Padres. Felt like you could have easily just thrown in the towel and lived to fight another day, but that's not what happened. And turned in to what I would imagine will end up being one of your more memorable games on the microphone in your career. Give us your perspective just of calling that comeback, the ejections, everything that went in to the eighth inning last night.
Yeah, it was a signature win this year for this team. I don't think there's any doubt. And, I mean, they've had a couple like this, certainly, in terms of the comebacks. But I think this one, as you alluded to, was a little bit extra, right? I mean, between the ejections, between the weather, between just sort of the weirdness of the night, and truly because it was at Yankee Stadium. You know, it felt a little bit more special than maybe some of those other comeback wins did. And it was two really good teams facing off. And the Padres took advantage of the Yankees' ultimate weakness here in 2025, which is the back end of that bullpen. And I know Weaver's been great this year, but they got to Devin Williams, who's been gotten a bunch this year. He's off to one of those, like, miserable New York starts. I think the transition from Milwaukee to New York has been a very tough one on Devin Williams. Not that he can't get it figured out at some point and turned around, but he hasn't. And the Padres, you know, really almost as if it were scripted, took full advantage of what he's been going through. And then, I mean, to get the first run of the season against Weaver. Weaver had allowed three hits all year. Padres got two against him back-to-back last night. So, I mean, that's the kind of performance that they were able to put together. But that is what this team is. You know, that is the identity of this Padre team, as set very firmly by their manager, Mike Schilt. And they've got the talent to back that mindset up. And that's why I think you see games like last night.
We're talking to the great Jesse Agler here on Ben and Woods this morning. And, Jesse, that was a Hall of Fame ejection for Mike Schilt. I don't know that he'll end up in Cooperstown. He very well could one day. That will be one that I will remember forever. That was And I saw it coming, and I saw it coming in about the fourth, fifth inning. He was barking all night. And, you know, when you see your star player get thrown out with his back to the umpire, he came out and he let him have it. Now, you guys, what was the history? There's a history between Schilt and Adrian Johnson?
Yeah, calling it a history might be overstating it a little bit, but we had him on opening day against Atlanta, and there was plenty of barking that day. And so, you know, Jesse does a little digging and found out that, you know, that wasn't the first time that there had been some disagreements with that particular umpire. So you had some stuff from the past. Then that kind of bubbled up again on opening day this year in that game against the Braves. And then, you know, yesterday it boiled over. So, yeah, those are always things to keep in mind. Very few things in baseball happen in a vacuum. Right. You know, sometimes something will pop up and occur. But oftentimes when you see that sort of energy, there's something more to it. So, yeah. We were on that, you know, talking about it. And certainly I think earlier in the game, you could see Mike was not going to give Johnson, you know, a lot of leeway on some of the calls that they didn't like. And I don't have any doubt, not that they would necessarily say this, but I don't have any doubt that some of the stuff that's occurred in the past, including, you know, at the end of March, probably had an impact on what took place yesterday. And Fernando, I mean, just to take a moment, that to me was a work of art, what Fernando pulled off, because he knew, I would think, and I haven't talked to him yet, but I would imagine he knew he was going to say exactly what he said, and it was going to result in an ejection. There are certain words, phrases, compound words, if you prefer, that will pretty much have that result. The way he did it, though, was like a drive-by, like a silent assassin.
Just
kind of this little, I'm going to whisper it right in your ear, walk away, and never even look back at you. And to me, that was it was honestly like a work of art. So funny. And, you know, as you said, Mike came out there to back his guy up. You know, I'm sure you guys have talked about it or played it, or you will. But, you know, Schilt, after the game, you know, he's saying, like, one of the things he takes pride in is his players not getting ejected. And so to come out there and be able to back Fernando up in that way was very, very entertaining.
Jesse, you watch every single game. I watch every single game. They don't whine a lot. They don't. There are major league teams, I won't mention any name, the Dodgers, but cry and piss and moan about every ball that doesn't go their way. Managers, they just don't. They're not that team. They're not that real gripey, bitchy team. I just don't see it out of them. When he said that last night, it was a light bulb in my head. I went, dude, he's right. He's absolutely right. You may see the head tilt, the kind of the funny look at the umpire, but you don't see these guys like constantly whining like you see so many other teams. The Dodgers do.
No, I mean, they're not. I mean, they've had guys the last couple of years. There's one who's not playing for the next 70 or so games, who used to, you know, take exception to a lot of calls, but that was kind of his personality, his thing, not the thing of the team. And that's fine. Look, every team usually has a guy or two like that. But you're right. I mean, generally they don't, you know, they don't make a big thing of it because that's the mentality of this team. You know, the mentality is to just turn the page and, all right, you know, I'm not getting that call. I might be annoyed. I might shoot the look. I might have a quick word, but I'm not going to let that impact the next pitch because if I do, I'm putting myself at a competitive disadvantage. This team is so competitive. This team is so locked in on winning. It's not about individual numbers. It's not about one call I got or I didn't get. It's about trying to do whatever I can to win. And that means when you get a bad call, you have to flush it right away because you got to get ready for the next one.
So did you see Jackson Merrill in the clubhouse? He did not. We thought he was going to be activated yesterday. Kind of glad he didn't have to slide around on that outfield.
Yeah,
but
kidding me?
It looks like today will be the day that Jackson Merrill now returns to the Padres lineup.
You see him in the dugout before the game?
I did not.
Oh, you did not?
I did not see him.
He was there all day.
Okay.
He was so fired up, like a little kid.
Yeah, so he's there. You know, if things Friday night, I would expect him to be out there. But, you know, not necessarily a guarantee with the weather. Although it's supposed to be pretty much okay tonight. But, yeah, he was there all day yesterday, got to watch the game, do the whole thing pregame, and obviously very good news. I don't think the plan was ever for him to go back yesterday. They had kind of decided to do a day off after the two rehab games at AA. So yesterday was kind of that rest day. So I think, yeah, theoretically today is the plan for Jackson Merrill. But, you know, we'll wait and see exactly what happens when we get down there, up there.
All right. I don't know. I feel like I need to switch now because what do you think I should do?
I think we may need to find a new word.
Yes.
And just we'll tell our audience once we figure out the word and then maybe give it to Jesse. Unless you got a word.
I didn't realize. I thought it was an art term that I had for Jesse, but it also
is very
much inappropriate.
It's a deviant, sexual, disgusting.
Jesse,
I am so sorry.
You will.
I expect that from Woodsy, but not from
no.
You.
Well, oh, I was, no, it was accidental for
there's
me.
There's only it's, one massive pervert on this show, and it's not me. I'm sending this to you now.
No, don't.
I just
send
it to Jesse.
All right,
and then I'm going to give.
It is an art. It is absolutely an art term.
You are.
But I don't think
you
we
have
should do
lost,
it. I don't think we should do it.
You have
I
lost never, your mind.
I did not see well, that definition when in my
root,
research.
It's the root word of the word he wanted to give you. Let me know when you get it.
Well, he's not going to do it. There's no chance.
No, I know he's not going to do it, but I want him to see what kind of pervert, deviant creep that I'm working with on a daily basis. Look at this, what he wanted to give you tonight.
All right, hold on. Let me look at my
phone. All right.
Oh, my God. I Googled
Paulie, thank God for you for looking that up.
I was could have gotten up him the in pronunciation.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
You don't want to do that.
Well, yeah, that's not one that
now,
you...
Now, here's my question, I guess. So Ben, I never heard of that. Ben,
I
know,
I had never heard of it either.
Yeah, I haven't.
So Woods is Woods caught this one.
Paul
is
did.
Paul did.
Paul did.
Paul did. So
God.
Thank Paul.
Oh, okay.
All right. I'm going to switch it now. I'll stay in the world of art, and I don't think we've done this one.
Art.
Yes, that was.
That's not art.
It was. It
I guess
was
some
an
people
art term.
Might call
it was
art.
An art term. All right, let's do this. Paulie won't have it for you, but I've got it for you. Diptych.
Whoa, God!
It's
good
an
God!
Art, it's an artwork consisting of two pieces or panels that together create a single art piece.
Diptych.
Beautiful.
Diptych. D-I-P-T-Y-C-H. Diptych.
Mm.
What?
Lovely.
I'm letting our chat know.
I can post the word.
I just put it in the
no,
chat.
No, it's not ing, it's aj.
Okay.
It's, yeah, you've got it wrong. My term was going. It was the art. It was defined as I saw it as the art technique of using charcoal or chalk to create like a textured contour to your artwork.
Sure.
But yeah. Also, yeah. The other way is for two guys to cross their swords. Is a nice way to say it. That's the other root word.
So we won't give you that.
Dictionary definition is the practice or touching or rubbing against a clothed body of another person in a crowd. As a means
inappropriate,
of
right.
obtaining...
There, that's fine. Diptych.
Diptych
is the word for Jesse.
I'm so sorry,
Jesse. Incorporated
good
tonight.
God.
Good luck, Jesse.
Wash your hands, boys.
All right. Jesse Agler joining us from New York City.
Why does he put up with us, man? Oh, God.